tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
Globalism, I call it the 800-pound gorilla in the living room. Now, the tragedy is many people don't even know what the term means. Donald Trump has taken to mention it fairly often. He is against globalism. And yet, the average American, if you said to them, so what is globalism? What's it all about? Most of them would shrug their shoulders and just not know or take a wild stab at it. Now, because of that, I decided I wanted to bring to you the definition of globalism. Here's what the dictionary says: a national geopolitical policy in which the entire world is regarded as the appropriate sphere for a state's influence. The entire world. The development of social, cultural, technological, or economic networks that transcend national boundaries. It's also referred to as globalization. Now, Strobe Talbot probably said it most succinctly in his article in Time magazine, July the 20th of 1992, called Birth of the Global Nation. Here's what Talbot said. In the next century, nations as we know it will be obsolete. All states will recognize a single global authority. You say, well, what do I care what Strobe Talbot thinks? Well, we probably all should care, because he said that in 1992. In 1994, he was summoned to the White House to serve in the Clinton State Department from 1994 until the end of the term of the Clintons in the year 2000. So he is the embodiment of what the Clintons believe about the future of our world. National sovereignty will cease to exist in the 21st century. We'll all answer to a single global authority. Now, what makes this so haunting is that the Bible prophesies about the near future. And there are several specific prophecies about one world government and about the coming one world government just ahead of us. Let me read a couple of them to you. Daniel chapter number 7, verse 23 says it this way. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse or different from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Now, to put this in context, the passage goes on to say that he will launch a time of religious persecution called the Great Tribulation, until the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that great tribulation will last for 3.5 years. So the establishment of this one world government spoken of here in Daniel 7:23 is going to actually take place about 3.5 years before the second coming of Jesus and the Battle of Armageddon. That world government will be at the zenith of its power during that final 3.5 years. So here we are in a red-hot presidential campaign, and the number one issue has become globalism versus national sovereignty. Let me give you the other scripture. It's Revelation 13:7. Revelation 13:1-8 is devoted to the Antichrist, his one-world government. And in verse 7, it says it this way, and it was given unto him, the Antichrist, to make war with the saints. That's the true Christians. And to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Well, the dream of one world government is not a new dream, but it has been revived with a vengeance, beginning at the first part of the 20th century and escalating dramatically right now. After World War I, they called it the Great War. It was the greatest war the world's ever seen, 8.2 million dead. Our president, Woodrow Wilson, said, we've got to stop this carnage. We can't ever let this happen again. And he came up with a plan, the League of Nations. However, there were members of our Congress that quickly saw through this plan that in order for it to work like Woodrow Wilson said it should work, the United States would have to surrender its sovereignty and merge into a one-world governmental system. Consequently, our Congress wisely voted no, and the League of Nations was dead on arrival. It quickly faded into obscurity. However, it wasn't totally disregarded. A short time after this, Franklin D. Roosevelt placed on the U.S. dollar bill, and it's still there today, the phrase Novus Ordo Seclorum, which is Latin for New World Order. Novus is new, Ordo is order, and Seclorum is secular or world. Why in the world did our president, Franklin D. Roosevelt, put the term New World Order on the back of our dollar bill? Well, for good reason, because Roosevelt was a believer in a one-world governmental system. However, 20 years after World War I, once again, the United States of America was embroiled in World War II. This time, there wasn't 8.2 million dead. This time, 52 million. By now, the nations are in panic. What's going to happen? I mean, this war was closed out with a nuclear weapon. What happens if there's 1,000 nuclear weapons unleashed upon this world? Will we destroy all human, plant, and animal life off the face of the earth? Because now we have the ability to do that. So the nations of the world came together under the leadership of Franklin D. Roosevelt, who was a dreamer of a new world order, and founded a new organization called the United Nations. It actually was a continuation of the League of Nations. They actually inherited the furniture and some of the property of the League of Nations. But they put a new face on it called the United Nations. And it was designed from the outset to be a one world government. Now, it did have a flaw. The flaw was that still the United States was not willing to totally surrender its sovereignty, so we demanded veto power, ultimate veto power, over the decisions of the UN Security Council where the big decisions are made. Well, when we demanded veto power, the other victor nations of World War II said, well, if you get it, we get it. So when everything was settled, the United States, Great Britain, France, Russia, China, the Big Five, were given veto power. All the rest of the nations of the world found themselves already in a one-world government over which they had no veto power. But because of the veto power, enmity immediately out of World War II, enmity between Russia, the Soviet Union, and the United States of America heated up. It produced what is called the Cold War. So from 1945 until 1989, we lived through this brinkmanship when we went to bed every night wondering if the Russians would push the buttons, wondering if the United States would push those nuclear buttons or not, wondering if we would ever even wake up at all. We lived that way for 44 years or so. However, with the fall of the Berlin Wall and the tearing down of the Iron Curtain, in 1989, it was announced the Cold War is over. We're moving into a new world order. President George Herbert Walker Bush, who was in power at the time, along with Mikhail Gorbachev, the leader of the Soviet Union, and Pope John Paul II, regarded as the world's strongest religious leader, they all came together within 20 days of the fall of the Berlin Wall at Malta. And they came out of those meetings announcing the birth of the New World Order. It was a term that not many of us were very familiar with, even though it had been on the back of our dollar bill, yet it was written in Latin, and so we hadn't really paid much attention to it. However, these three leaders, they meant what they said. They believed they were giving birth to a new world order. Listen to what George Herbert Walker Bush said shortly after the fall of the Berlin Wall. Now, many of us recall President Bush talking about an emerging new world order. In 1989, Bush told the students of Texas A&M University, perhaps the world order of the future will truly be a family of nations. Later, Bush, shortly after the fall of the Berlin Wall, said, we have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations, listen to this term, in the words of George Bush Sr., a new world order. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order. An order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders. I want you to remember what our subject is today, globalism. Do we believe in a one world government, a new world order, or do we want to retain national sovereignty and continue to be an independent nation? We have declared our independence, but many people think we should renounce that declaration and adopt instead a declaration of interdependence. Now, here's something else Bush Sr. said. What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order. And again, you can listen to this on videos on the internet. You don't have to take my word for it. He stated these things. Bush Sr. father said, the world can therefore seize the opportunity to fulfill the long-held promise of a new world order. Long-held, yes. Woodrow Wilson held it. Franklin D. Roosevelt held it. Many others held it. Now George Herbert Walker Bush holds it. Now, on the heels of the fall of the Berlin Wall, when everybody was saying, oh, it's going to be peace on earth, goodwill toward men, all of a sudden, Saddam Hussein decided he could invade Kuwait and claim it's all riches for his own. Well, he did. And George Herbert Walker Bush, as the leader of the strongest nation in the free world, felt like he had to go against Saddam Hussein. And when he was marshaling the forces, he gathered together 29 different nations that contributed either troops or resources to this effort against Saddam Hussein in 1991. When he did this, George Bush said, I want to make clear to the Iraqi people, this is not the United States of America against Iraq. This is Saddam Hussein against the world. Bush already was thinking about a one world governance situation. He went on to say, the world can therefore seize the opportunity in the Persian Gulf crisis to fulfill the long-held promise of a new world order where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind. So obviously, George Herbert Walker Bush was a big believer in the New World Order. Some people called him an internationalist. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me pause a moment because I'm barely scratching the surface here today, although I have a lot more material for you. But we produced a DVD called Master Plan of the dragon being Satan. Satan has a master plan for this world, and this DVD will shock you to your feet because we tell things in here that haven't really been told before. What's Satan's master plan, and how is it affecting us right now, right today? And then the other DVD we produced, one of the most popular we've ever done, World Government Forming Now. Two DVDs. Master Plan of the Dragon, World Government Forming Now. If you'd like to have a copy of these, pick up the phone and call us right now. The number to call, 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. Or you can go to our website, endtime.com, E-N-D-T-I-M-E.com. And there you'll see on our store a place for you to order these two videos. Let me tell you what they are one more time. Master Plan of the Dragon, World Government Forming Now. You need to see both of these because it may change the way you vote in this present election. But whether that happens or not, at least you understand what globalism is and why it is the 800-pound gorilla in the living room. Well, as history marched on after World War II, the European Union was founded. It was quite a process, but eventually it came together to the point today we have 27 nations who now have their own constitution. It's called the European Union. They now have 500 million people. The U.S. has 315 million. And also, the European Union passed the U.S. economically in 2007. It is a power that is laying low, but it won't lay low for long. It has a very pivotal role to play in the prophecies of the end time. Now, let's talk about the battle to bring the United States into a world government. The World Federalist Organization has worked tirelessly because they are a firm believer that world government is the answer. The World Federalist Organization each year gives away an award to the person that year that did the most working toward one world government. It's called the Norman Cousins Award because Norman Cousins was a big believer in one world government. In the year 2000, this award was given to Walter Cronkite. For some of you that are old enough to remember, he was the voice of news in America for 30 years. Listen to what Walter Cronkite had to say about world government. It seems to many of us that if we are to avoid the eventual catastrophic world conflict, we must strengthen the United Nations as a first step toward a world government patterned after our own government with a legislature, an executive, a judiciary, and police to enforce its international laws and keep the peace. To do that, of course, we Americans will have to yield up some of our sovereignty. That would be a bitter pill. It would take a lot of courage, a lot of faith in the New World Order. But the American colonies did it once and brought forth one of the most nearly perfect unions the world has ever seen. Mr. Walter Cronkite was an avid believer in a one-world governmental system. President Bill Clinton, also as an internationalist, he believes in a one-world governmental system, and during his presidency, he pushed the concept forward as much as he could. I pulled up today his speech, which he gave on September the 22nd of 1997 before the UN General Assembly. In there, he made a statement. He said, "It's time for the International Criminal Court." Let me give you the quote exactly. "Before the century ends, we should establish a permanent international court to prosecute the most serious violations of humanitarian law." Well, that proposal immediately flipped the world community into action. By the very next year, by July the 17th of 1998, they had put together what's called the International Criminal Court Statute of Rome, and it came into force with enough ratifications by 2002. And today, every single person on the sound of my voice could be taken before that International Criminal Court at The Hague in Holland, and you could be put on trial without protection of the U.S. Constitution nor the Bill of Rights. That's all I have time to tell you about. Nevertheless, it was proposed by none other than former President Bill Clinton. Mr. David Rockefeller, one of the most powerful people of the last 100 years, also chairman of the board at Chase Bank until his retirement. He said this in his memoirs on page 405. "Some even believe we, the Rockefeller family, are part of a secret cabal working against the best interest of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalist, and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will." Listen carefully. Rockefeller speaking. "If that's the charge, I stand guilty. And I am proud of it." So, Memoirs by David Rockefeller, page 405. I think it was written in 2002. David Rockefeller also said this, because he was a big mover behind the scenes. He had meetings with the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations. He was the founder of the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, actually, he was the president of the Council on Foreign Relations. He also was the founder of the Trilateral Commission. And so all of these meetings that were always held in secret, listen to what David Rockefeller said. We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion. For almost 40 years, all these supposedly impartial news media people, now Rockefeller's giving them credit for keeping their mouths shut for almost 40 years. He went on to say, it would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subject to the bright lights of publicity during those years. But the work is now much more sophisticated and prepared to march towards a world government, the supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national autodetermination practiced in past centuries. David Rockefeller said, founder of the Trilateral Commission, in a meeting to the Trilateral Commission in June of 1992. Now, Mr. James Warburg, who was part of the very powerful European Warburg family, he came here to the United States, and he was the person mainly responsible for writing the Federal Reserve Act, which was adopted in 1913. Now, his son, James Warburg Jr., was testifying before a Senate Committee on Foreign Affairs, and here's what he said. He said to them, we shall have a world government, whether or not you like it, by conquest or by consent. Now, he was a CFR member, that Council on Foreign Relations member, and he was speaking to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on February the 17th, 1950. You can check it out in the congressional record. Here's what Supreme Court Justice Felix Frankfurter said concerning globalism in 1952. The UN is but a long-range international banking apparatus clearly set up for financial and economic profit by a small group of powerful one-world revolutionaries hungry for profit and power. Now, Curtis Dahl, FDR's son-in-law, made that statement, the son-in-law of FDR. The title of his book was My Exploited Father-in-Law. Whether FDR was exploited or whether he knew what was going on, well, that's another discussion for another day. Now, here's what Supreme Court Justice Felix Frankfurter said. The real rulers in Washington are invisible and exercise power from behind the scenes. We've all been suspicious about that, haven't we? Senator William Fulbright said the case for government by elites is irrefutable. He was the former chairman of the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and he stated that in a 1963 symposium entitled, The Elite and the Electorate, Is Government by the People Possible? Then former Congressman John Rorick in 1971 said this, the Council on Foreign Relations is the establishment. Oh, you've heard that term establishment in this presidential campaign? Well, he spills the beans. The Council on Foreign Relations, headed by David Rockefeller, who was for one world government, that's the establishment. Not only does it have influence and power in key decision-making positions at the highest level of government to apply pressure from above, but it also announces and uses individuals and groups to bring pressure from below to justify the high-level decisions for converting the U.S. from a sovereign constitutional republic into a servile member state of a one-world dictatorship. Here's what Richard Gardner said. The new world order will have to be built from the bottom up rather than from the top down, but in the end, run around national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece, will accomplish much more than old-fashioned frontal assault. Council on Foreign Relations member Richard Gardner. That was in the 1974 issue of the CFR's Foreign Affairs Journal. Quickly, one more. England's Prime Minister Tony Blair. We are all internationalists now, whether we like it or not. He continues saying, on the eve of a new millennium, this is after the Berlin Wall fell, we are now in a new world. We need new rules for international cooperation and new ways of organizing our international institutions. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, that's all I have time for. One more time, Master Plan of the Dragon, that's one DVD. And also, World Government Forming Now. To get your copy, the number to call is 1-800-END-TIME. That's 800-363-8463, or go to endtime.com. You've been listening to Globalism on End of the Age.
From here to Armageddon, a new, exciting 8-lesson series to share with your family and friends. Order yours right away.
From Here to Armageddon answers many questions like, how far are we from the Battle of Armageddon? What will happen between now and then? Where are we on the timeline? This new series gives an overview of the major events that will occur from now until then and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Irvin covers topics such as the Sixth Trumpet War, the final 7 years, the Antichrist revealed, and the world's greatest revival just ahead. God did not intend for his people to stumble blindly into the end times. All your questions clearly answered in this exciting 8-lesson series, From Here to Armageddon.
Order yours today. Go to endtime.com or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. 1-800-END-TIME. Order yours right away.
Do you want to know more about Bible prophecy? Join Irvin Baxter in Springfield, Missouri on November 19th and 20th, and in Blue Eye, Missouri on November 21st. Call 1-800-END-TIME or go to endtime.com/events for more information.